God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Please be seated. The word of God from the Old Testament reading in Leviticus 19. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is God's word. The theme that runs through both the Old Testament lesson and the Holy Gospel for tonight was in the collect of the day as well, which we heard, is that topic of our neighbor. I like to say that sometimes in Bible study that I learned a little bit about the idea of your neighbor when I learned some Spanish. Because in Spanish, they have two different words for neighbor. There's one that refers to the person that lives in the house next to you. But then there's also the word for your biblical neighbor, the word prójimo. Think of the word proximity. Your neighbor is the person in proximity to you. That's the person whom God calls you to love. Love your neighbor as yourself, the lawyer in our Holy Gospel quoted the Old Testament as saying. He summarized the law with those words. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This past week, the reason we didn't have church last Wednesday is I was in Minneapolis for the Missouri Synod's. Every 3 years, they have a national youth gathering. And there were over 20,000 people, over 20,000 youth from around the United States, from around the world even, gathered in Minneapolis. And it was a wonderful, wonderful reminder that the church is a lot bigger than we are accustomed to remembering. You know, we're pretty isolated people up here in the UP. I mean, granted, you all know that, right? We're pretty closed off people. A lot of us like it up here because we don't have to deal with big city problems or big city driving. I bet there's some of you who just absolutely hate the idea of even driving in a city as big as Green Bay. Am I right? Okay. But it is obviously a much bigger world than we're accustomed to thinking of. And seeing all these kids from all around the country, from all around the world, was just such a neat reminder that my neighbor, the person I'm called to care about, is sometimes a person who's not like me. Sometimes it's a person who speaks with a bit of a southern drawl in their voice. Or it's a person whose skin is a different color than mine. Or it's a person who speaks a different language than I speak. We were there in Minneapolis and something really interesting happened while we were there. Minneapolis is a very, very, let's just say, progressive city. How many of you are familiar with Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from St. Paul? Okay, she's from the Twin Cities, okay? So there's varied different types of thinking that occur in the Twin Cities. And apparently on Twitter, I know some of you don't probably, maybe none of you use Twitter, social media platform where people will post short little blurbs, things they are thinking. People around Minneapolis talking about all these kids who are walking around downtown Minneapolis with these purple backpacks. Well, that was the National Youth Gathering kids. People complaining about them when they heard that they were there for a church youth convention. That set off some trigger warnings. And when they found out that they were Missouri Synod Lutherans, I read some of these comments myself. Oh, people said, those are the bad Lutherans. The Missouri Synod Lutherans. They're the ones that hate gay people and are against a woman's right to choose. That's how they classify us. And so there was very, very venomous, nasty things being said about these 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids walking around Minneapolis who were there to hear about Jesus, hear about his love, to do service projects for people in need. Some kids went out and painted a guy's house. Our group went to a food distribution center for an organization called Feed My Starving Children. And we bagged food that was going to be sent to Haiti. Our neighbors are sometimes people different from us. The guy in the gospel, the lawyer who wanted to, Luke tells us, justify himself, forgot that. If you go back to Leviticus, though, to God's covenant, his law that he had given to his people Israel, it was very clear that you were to show love and compassion to your neighbor, even if that person was blind, even if that person was a hired servant, if that person was deaf, no matter who that person was, even if it was a sojourner, which meant a foreigner, someone traveling among you who was not like you, you were to love your neighbor, no matter who that neighbor might be. Even if that neighbor speaks with a different accent, even if that neighbor's skin is different, even if that neighbor has different beliefs than you, different political beliefs, different spiritual beliefs, it's hard to love your neighbor as yourself. Because people, we know this, can be just so gosh darn unlovable. We know enough by looking within our own corrupt, sinful hearts how wretched we are, and we're Christians, right? How much more unlovable are the unbelievers and the people not like us and the people who don't come to church on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, or the people who curse the name of the Lord, or the people who twist God's word to suit their own devices. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, he says in Leviticus. I am the Lord, he says all throughout that reading. I am the Lord your God. And I've called you to love your neighbor. How do we love those who are so unlovable? There's enough people today who have a hard time loving themselves. They know how unlovable their own state might be. Well, we're reminded by St. John in his first epistle that love comes from God, and that he first loved us. John writes in 1 John, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we love because he first loved us. You can't love your neighbor without being loved. You can't give to someone else what you haven't first received. It's a real unlovable world today, filled with a lot of unlovable people. And yet God's command is blunt. It doesn't discriminate. Love your neighbor. Love him as yourself. Even if it's a Samaritan. It was the Samaritan who helped that guy on the side of the road. Samaritans and Jews didn't really have anything to do with each other, didn't like each other, had different attitudes towards worship from each other. Yet a Samaritan stopped by the road and kept the law of God better than the priest, better than the Levite. He loved his neighbor, bound up his wounds, took him to the inn, and paid for his care. The great Samaritan, of course, is Jesus, who was as Jewish could get. It sounds weird to call him a Samaritan then, but he's the one who binds you up. Him who is holy and righteous and perfect binds up and heals the poor, miserable, wretched sinner like you and me. And he pays for our care by shedding his own blood, giving himself into death, so that we might be healed from our sin, from the wickedness that has wounded us and broken us. How can we love others? Well, dear friends, first and foremost, hear that you are loved. Loved by God your Father, who has given you his word and given you his law. Loved in the blood of Jesus Christ, which has taken away all of your sin. Loved with the gift of eternal life. You see, you who know what it means to be broken by sin, to be torn up and wounded and beaten by this world and by sin and by the devil, you've been healed. You are forgiven. You have the gift of life. Because the great Samaritan Jesus Christ has cared for you. You have exactly what your neighbor needs. Because you see, regardless of what political persuasion others might come from, regardless of what their attitudes might be toward us as Christians, regardless of whether they might think of us as the bad Lutherans, they're broken, just like we're broken. They need healing, just like we need healing. And we've been given it. You can love. All of you can love your neighbor. Because you have been loved by the one whose love never, ever, ever fails. You've been loved by Jesus in his cross, in the forgiveness of sins proclaimed to you tonight, in the body and blood he gives you from the altar this evening. He gives you the medicine that binds up your wounds, that binds you up from the brokenness of sin. He gives you the medicine of eternal life. He gives you forgiveness, life, and salvation. So when you go out and meet someone just as unlovable as you, you can give forgiveness, life, and salvation as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ask yourself first, how have I myself been loved? I've been loved in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. I have life in him, life abundant to share with all, each and every day. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.